Welcome to my Love Life podcast, episode number 225, Environmental Toxins and Your Health. It's February 27th, 2024. I'm your host, Lisa A. Lundy, author, blogger, YouTuber, motivational speaker, etc. I am also a member of the Newsweek Expert Forum. What I do is I help people be happy, healthy, and well-loved, even when life is extremely difficult. As my disclaimer, this podcast does not constitute medical or therapy advice in any fashion. There is no longer any music for my podcast intros or outros. I am inviting you to join the movement and request other social media content creators to ditch the music when combined with voice, because that would make it much more accessible for people who are hard of hearing or have hearing loss. End of non-musical podcast intro. Environmental toxins and your health. Oh, my heavens, people. What a big topic. This is a topic I learned about slowly and over time, and quite frankly, the hard way. I learned it the hard way when I was dealing with someone who had a traumatic health diagnosis, and there were so many things that I didn't know. Before I continue, I do want to request that if you are feeling suicidal, you call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255 or call or text 98. Please do that. Do that right away. There's plenty of help. You don't need to be embarrassed or ashamed. Also, I want to repeat my disclaimer. Nothing I say in this podcast is intended or designed to be medical or therapy advice. Environmental toxins and your health is not something, in my humble opinion, that we are widely and openly talking about. Yet we should be. This subject and all I'm going to cover could be overwhelming to you. My request is you breathe and you just listen, and then at the end you can decide what you're going to do, but just understand this is not intended to be overwhelming, but I do have a lot of ground to cover, and you just do a little bit here and a little bit there. What's most important is that you do not live in denial about what I'm saying. This is public information. I did not subpoena anything to get this data. So environmental toxins are things that can be inhaled, breathing it in, ingested, eaten it in some way, or absorbed through the skin. Now, chemical toxins are commonly found in air. Number one, air. That's indoor air and outdoor air. Two, food. Three, water, including some bottled waters. Four, much of the furniture in the world contains chemical toxins. Five, pesticides. Six, shampoos, conditioners, body lotions. We call this category personal care products. Seven, many cleaning supplies or cleaning products. Eight, much of the lawn care chemicals and supplies contain toxins. Nine, scented products. That includes fragrance, aftershave, cologne, as well as other products that are scented. 10. Many laundry products, including dryer sheets, contain toxic chemicals. 11. Some automotive supplies and or for sure automotive exhaust. 12. Construction, renovation, or remediating or remodeling a home or office, which includes repairs, painting, sealants, flooring, carpeting, etc. And number 13, food packaging. That's not the entire list, but that gives you the flavor that environmental toxins or chemicals are all over the place. So there's so much research. The research on environmental toxins and human health is fairly robust. I would say I would give it a good grade, and there's more that we can do. It's just I want to cover a couple high points from the research relative to toxins. So number one, we have a very concerning toxin called PFAS. So that's capital P, capital F, capital A, capital S, which is a longer, there's a longer name for it, but they abbreviate that, or they call that forever chemicals. Forever because they don't degrade and disappear. So they're forever chemicals. These PFAS chemicals or toxins are found in consumer products, in some industrial uses, food, food packaging, personal care, pet food, water-resistant clothing, stain-resistant carpeting, stain-resistant upholstery, and other fabrics. Think, you know, stain protection chemicals. Personal care products, paint, varnishes, sealants, cleaning products. So I'm just going to say this in this section of the podcast, because I have a long list of suggestions. This is not included in the later parts. I'm going to say it here, which is your would do well to avoid stain-resistant, wrinkle-resistant, or water-resistant clothing or fabrics, nonstick pans, rainproof outerwear, and waterproof and long-lasting cosmetics. Now, there are PFASs in food, and I'm going to make a suggestion about personal care products later on, but really, avoid stain-resistant fabrics, stain-resistant furniture, stain-resistant carpeting, wrinkle-resistant, water-resistant. That's a good way to reduce your exposure to PFAS, which are very toxic. Number two, tap water. We have many people who think there's nothing wrong with drinking tap water, and you are welcome to continue thinking that. You can think whatever you want to think. I will tell you from the research that tap water, much of the tap water, contains PFAS chemicals, which I just covered, in the water you drink. Tap water may also include nitrates, arsenic, industrial solvents, radiation chemicals, and of course, if you haven't read in publications that are mainstream publications, you know, pharmaceutical products that are not filtered out through the public water system. Tap water is not something I ever recommend for those reasons. Number three, artificial food colors or food dyes. Red food dye number three is linked to cancer in foods, and yet it is in foods that are marketed directly to children. Titanium dioxide is yet one other chemical that increases the risk of cancer. So we have artificial food dyes, artificial flavors, artificial chemicals in foods that are toxic, and especially toxic to young children. Number four, pesticides in produce. We know that pesticides in produce are linked to cardiovascular disease, cancer, and respiratory diseases. Number five, fragrances, colognes, aftershaves. A 1991 EPA, that's Environmental Protection Agency, study showed that acetone, benzaldehyde, benzyl acetate, ethanol, ethyl acetate, linalool, methylene chloride, and A-terpenol were in each and every fragrance that the EPA tested. Every single fragrance. They also found toluene, T-O-L-U-E-N-E, a neurotoxic carcinogenic, something that causes cancer, and designated as a hazardous waste in these products, fragrance, aftershave, perfume, that you apply to the largest organ of your body and you inhale by smelling. Six, personal care products. Personal care products contain things like formaldehyde, paraformaldehyde, methylene glycol, quaternarium 15, mercury, dibutyl and dihexyl phthalates, parabens, and PFAS chemicals. That's in the lotions, the creams, the washes, the body washes, your personal care products. Number seven, home renovation, remodeling, new construction, or office building construction, remodeling, or renovation. Those areas, whether it's remodeling, repairing, new construction, is completely loaded with environmental toxins and very toxic to human health. I do have a podcast about non-toxic renovations and new construction, which lays that out in great detail, extraordinary detail for a podcast. I mean, for a podcast where the target is under an hour. I would seriously suggest you listen to that podcast on non-toxic renovation and construction if you're going to do it or you've done it. Whether, you know, you might have done a remodel 2 years ago, I'd still listen to that podcast. Number eight, food preservatives. This is very interesting. Food preservatives, additives, and packaging. I was involved in testing a child's health years ago, and they, in their blood, had high levels of styrene, which is a food packaging chemical. We don't think about food packaging chemicals going from the food, going from the packaging into the food and then into our bloodstream. But I saw the blood results because I had to look up the chemicals. I didn't know where they came from. Well, one was from food packaging. I was like, oh gosh. All right. So that gives you many common areas. That gives you eight common areas. There are more, but that gives you the overview. And so I want to cover top few health impacts from environmental toxins. This is not the end all be all list, people. This is like the light list. Number one, increased cholesterol levels. Two, changes in liver enzymes. Three, hypertension and preeclampsia in pregnancy. Four, kidney and testicular cancer and other cancers, including breast cancer. Five, asthma, difficulty breathing, coughing, and reactive airway disease. Six, fatigue. Seven, kidney or liver damage. Eight, immune system damage or chronic illness. Nine, birth defects. 10, the impact on the brain and nervous system include headaches, migraines, depression, dizziness, panic attacks, anxiety, impaired concentration, memory loss, twitching muscles, and ataxia. Number 11, infertility. Number 12, endocrine disruption. Number 13, obesity. And number 14, many links to other diseases and illnesses. How many more health implications do you need? I would hope that's enough. I'm going to take a small pass at mold right now as a toxin. It's an environmental toxin. It's not a chemical made by man. Mold naturally occurs, but mold can be very toxic to human health. It is an environmental health hazard to people with different health conditions. So it could be mild, the impact could be mild, or the impact could be severe. It depends on the person, their health history, the type of mold, the level of the mold, and the length of exposure. So there are many variables about mold as far as how it impacts people and how long it takes, etc., and what kind of mold. Of course, you know, we did, what's kind of been a little bit public is sick building syndrome and black mold from some of the hurricanes in the past. So here's a short list of the health impacts from mold in particular. Headaches, migraines, cognitive impairments, memory loss, confusion, impaired motor skills, depression, coughing up blood when the lungs are affected, chest pain, localized infections of the nails, eyes, skin, sinuses, or ear canals, chronic illness, brain fog, inflammation of the brain, asthma. Now, I had mentioned in a previous podcast on memory, this physician, Dr. Dale Bredesen, Bredesen, is an internationally renowned expert from UCLA, and he has found that a significant number of purported dementia cases are actually caused by mold exposure. Now, he is the author of a book, The End of Alzheimer's, which I did mention in my podcast on memory. So here I found in the looking at the research that there are a significant number of purported dementia cases that are actually caused by mold exposure. That's pretty significant. If you've dealt with Alzheimer's or dementia, that's a very significant illness and not a good one. And if it was caused by mold, then you could do something about that. Now, I happen to personally be very allergic to mold. I'm so allergic to mold that my allergist told me when I was 18 that if anybody ever gave me penicillin, it would kill me. He said, I promise you, it will kill you instantly. I promise you, I promise you, I promise you, I promise you. And years later, so physicians, if you haven't had a drug, physicians typically don't believe you could be allergic to it if you haven't had it. Well, then years later, I was given ANSEF, which is a drug they use for people who are allergic to penicillin. And it's safe for almost every case. Most cases of people who are allergic to penicillin, they can take ANSEF very safely without a problem. And I reacted to ANSEF diluted in an IV solution on the first or second drip. It was so fast. It happened so fast. The nurse who had hung the IV bag with the ANSEF in it hadn't even walked halfway across the room before I was screaming. And the doctors said after the fact, after my hives went away and I was okay, that they were 100% sure that penicillin would kill me. And they were 100% sure that ANSEF would kill me too. So I have I'm very sensitive to mold. That's in food or drugs or what have you. And so it's a very personal topic to me because, boy, if I walk in a building or room, if there's a whiff of mold, I'm like, it smells musty in here. It just gets right to me. So I'm going to move on to an investigative journalism publication called ProPublica, ProPublica, which is an investigative journalism in the public interest. There's an article from December 14th, 2022 on regulation by Neil Beatty, Sharon Lerner, and Kathleen McGrory titled, Why the U.S. is Losing the Fight to Ban Toxic Chemicals. So that's a piece for you if you're interested in that. Basically, one of the things the article talks about is you either have a policy in a country where you have to prove it's safe before it can be used, or you have to prove that it's unsafe after it's in use. So it's either risk-based or hazard-based. Now, in the U.S., any company can bring out a product with a chemical, a few exceptions. There's a few exceptions. But for the most part, in America, they can bring out a product. And then if you want the product banned, you have to then, the burden of proof moves to the consumers to prove that the product is unsafe, which is the opposite of what Canada and Europe and other countries do. So there is a good little bit of research about why this is. And I'm just not going to spend any more time on that. But there's a good source for you from ProPublica, why the U.S. is losing the fight to ban toxic chemicals. But I do have to bring up this next section is, why are we racing for the cure? Why are we racing for the cure when we know what makes people sick? What contributes to cancer? What causes cancer? What makes people infertile? What causes birth defects? Like, why are we not dealing with the root cause? Isn't that the question? What's the question for me? Because I did spend a fair amount of time researching cancer when I was dealing with that person who had a health issue. And let me tell you, I was shocked. I will still remember this probably for a long time, even though I now know my memory is completely unreliable. But I had gone to the public library in Buffalo, which is huge, big public library. And I found at the library, this was the public library, not the UB Medical Library. I spent a lot of time at the UB Medical Library, but this was at the Buffalo General Public Library, maps of the U.S., that outlined where they knew the cancer clusters were. I was just like incredulous. Like, this is what we know, but how come the rest of us, how come us lay people don't know that? Like, they have it all mapped out. And I happened upon that by accident, by the way, and I was just like, what the what? And we still don't talk about that, and people still don't know that we have maps of cancer clusters, which, by the way, there's a corollary between industrial manufacturing or industrial plants and cancer clusters. So this is a tragedy of gigantic proportions, in my humble opinion, because the root cause of unnecessary death and illness is environmental toxins that come from chemicals which are not necessary. It's not necessary to have artificial flavoring in food. The companies do it because it's cheaper to sprinkle the food with a chemical than pay for the real thing. And we have unwitting mothers who are feeding chemical-laced foods, buying flame-retardant pajamas, and so many things because they don't know. Because you think that our food supply is safe and you think that, you know, our environment is safe. Like, would you buy a sofa or would you be upset if you knew that the sofa you bought that you had paid to have stain guarded was going to transfer the stain guarding chemicals to your little children and you and be absorbed in the bodies? Well, you probably wouldn't go for the stain guard if you knew that. And worse, if you found out after the fact that the sofa you bought was sprayed with pesticides and anti-rodent chemicals at the manufacturing or at the warehouse location so that the sofa did not get eaten and infested with bugs or eaten by rodents, which then those chemicals come into your house and can be absorbed through the air or through, you know, physical touch. You wouldn't know that the perfume or fragrance you wore when you were pregnant contained toxins that could transfer to your unborn baby. And you wouldn't know if you didn't know perfumes and fragrances and personal care products had very toxic chemicals that your new baby or young child, whose blood-brain barrier wasn't fully formed, it wouldn't be fully formed right away, could then have those chemicals enter their brain. Like, I think you would probably choose not wearing a perfume or wearing one that's non-toxic. If you were told that the paint you use for your baby's nursery or your toddler's or your children's room was going to end up in their bloodstream, you might opt not to paint, or you might opt to look for a paint that didn't have toxins. And who knew, like literally, who knew that flame-retardant clothing could represent such a toxic exposure to your child? We're just not telling people what's going on. And in a country and in a world that professes to be deeply concerned about children and human health and human welfare, this is a no-go. This is a no-go. This is not information I subpoenaed. It's public. Doctors have been writing about it forever. So that's that. You have to question things. So the next piece I'm going to cover, which is detoxification. In human health, if you have exposures, now we know this goes back decades, because after, I think it was World War I, they used saunas to detoxify soldiers from mercury or whatever was in the bomb smoke that they were exposed to. But sauna goes back to World War I or one of the wars. I it's been too long since I've read that information. And the military used sauna as a way to remove the heavy metals from soldiers. So you can use an infrared sauna, which is the kind I'm used to and familiar with. I'm not talking about any other kind of sauna than infrared, because I don't have any knowledge about detoxification and saunas other than an infrared sauna. You can also use nutrition or supplements. And we have physicians in the U.S. that are experts, literally experts, in detoxification, nutrition, and these physicians that would be integrative, holistic, naturopathic, or functional physicians know how to safely detoxify the body and replace the nutrition that needs to be replaced. Because toxins, when your body has toxins, your body is going to try to remove them. And that increases your nutritional needs because it uses nutrition to remove the toxins. Here's a great resource for you. If you have an interest in this subject in particular, the medical, this is a medical reference, which you could take to your doctor. This is medical. This is not lay people, but I want you to understand the level in science that we have with respect to this. So the title of, there's a three-volume, this is a medical textbook, three-volume series, The Reversibility of Chronic Degenerative Disease and Hypersensitivity. That's by Dr. William Ray, REA, and Dr. Kalpana Patel, both MDs. There's volume one, volume two, and volume three. This is for a physician or someone at a physician level. I'm telling you, I have volume one, and it's so far over my pay grade. But you could get a doctor that you like who says, oh yeah, I'd love to know about detoxification. I'd love that. So then you or they buy the book. I mean, they're not cheap because it's a medical textbook, but you could get a doctor on board. Like, I've brought many doctors on board on my journey. And the better ones, the open-minded ones are going to go, yeah, oh, I'd love to learn about that. The closed-minded ones are going to be like, no, we don't accept that. That's not accepted science. I dare you to take one. I mean, I've only looked at volume one. I dare you to take issue with the references. There's like literally a couple of chapters I looked at had 500 medical citations per chapter. So there's a medical reference for you. Now, from a consumer end, I'm not saying that this book deals with detoxification because I don't have it and I haven't read it, but I did mention it in the podcast on memory, which is by this Dr. Dale E. Bredesen, Bredesen, MD, which is the end of Alzheimer's. It's the first program to prevent and reverse cognitive decline. So I suspect strongly that there's detoxification element in there because there would have to be, or at least a heavy nutritional end. Another physician whose books I think are maybe a little harder to find these days is this Dr. Sherry Rogers, MD. One of her books is called Detoxify or Die, but I'm pretty sure there was a different book that I bought when I had to work with someone to detox from the styrene, the automobile fumes, the paint fumes, the paint chemicals that were in this person's blood. But Sherry Rogers is a known expert in detoxification. I would strongly support anything by her based on my knowledge of her, although I don't know her personally. And the other doctor is Dr. Doris Rapp, MD. Dr. Doris Rapp, who is significantly up there in age, is board certified in three fields. One of her books on this subject is called Our Toxic World. I used to have it. I highly recommend it. Dr. Doris Rapp has been beating the drum about the impact of environmental chemicals on human health for decades. I'm not going to give you instructions on detoxification because that would be over my pay grade and outside of my scope. However, I did, under the guidance of two different physicians, use the infrared sauna for detoxification. And what was required was pre-sauna, this was infrared, so pre-infrared sauna, vitamins and minerals, and then, of course, lots of water. And then after the infrared sauna, there was a post-sauna vitamin and mineral regimen. There were protocols. Because when you do an infrared sauna, you are sweating out toxins, but you are also sweating out vitamins and minerals. It's just not the bad stuff that comes out. You get the bad stuff and the good stuff, which you have to replace. So this is why I say you want to have the appropriate guidance for this type of intervention. And the people who understand the protocols, the methodology, and the best practices for sauna detoxification or supplement or nutrition detoxification are the integrative physicians, holistic, natural, and functional physicians in my experience. I would not personally use a registered dietitian because at the conference I went to for the registered dietitians, none of them could believe that someone I was dealing with wasn't on a feeding tube or an NG tube. They found that impossible to believe. Well, that's a little sad. That's a lot sad. And they're not typically trained in nutrition the way that I'm speaking about, the way that you would want. So again, find a doctor who's open-minded and work with them. The open-minded doctors will be like, "Oh yeah, I'm very curious. I'm interested." That means they've had psychological safety and they can root around their mind and explore. A righteous, arrogant, opinionated, know-it-all doctor is not open-minded and not going to consider it. But I do always recommend that you work with a physician. That's just my opinion. All right, so I've got some final suggestions, plenty of them, to help you deal with this. These are the suggestions I make after more than 20 years of experience in this area. So number one, what you're doing right now by listening to this podcast is to get educated, to become conscious to the toxins you're being exposed to. I mean, I literally had no idea that wearing perfume exposed my unborn baby to such nasty, horrible, toxic chemicals. I just didn't know that. I didn't know the paint I used. I didn't know the sofa. I didn't know any of those things. Because how would I know that if we're not talking about it? There's no accident that birth defects are so high in America and in the world, and that they're growing up. They're going up. There's no accident there. So first of all, you're listening to this podcast, you're getting educated, good for you. Become more awake and aware and conscious too. Mold. This is what I have to say about mold. Test for mold and remediate mold in your living space or where you work. Period. End of story. There are plenty of resources online about mold. There are some testing companies. It's been too long since I've done mold testing to say who's still in it, who's not, who's good, who's not. But if you've got mold or you suspect mold, test and then remediate it. You don't have to necessarily have a professional remediate it if you're good at doing research and you can do your due diligence and you're smart about it, etc. Otherwise, get a company to do it for you. Number three, use resources that are available to you, like the Environmental Working Group or Safer Cosmetics, just two of many, to make better choices for all of your personal care products and fragrances, as well as other products. They have spent the money to do the research and have lists available for you and ratings for you on fragrances, on sunscreens, on lotions, you name it. Those are two good resources. There's too many for me to keep up with everything. The other entity that I trust 100% is the Alliance for Natural Health. They're a good organization. I'm not sure what list they have, but they're a good organization when it comes to understanding this issue and advocating for it. Number four, when renovating, remodeling, or doing new construction or additions, make choices that are non-toxic. I implore you to listen to my podcast on non-toxic renovation and construction, whether you're considering it, you're going to do it, or even if you've already done it. Like, don't stick your head in the sand. If you moved into a new house in the last 2 or 3 or 5 years, I would go back and listen to that podcast because I talk to people about this on a regular occasion. You would not believe how many people I have spoken to personally who moved into a new construction home and then Their kids got sick, their wife got sick, the husband, like they all got sick, or at least several of them got sick. So even if you've already made a remodel or you moved into a new construction, go back and listen to that podcast because you could take some actions. I would recommend that. Number five, as I already mentioned, the Environmental Working Group has a what's called an EWG. So Environmental Working Group is EWG. They have an EWG verified product. So this is like the top of the line. And last year when I got some fragrance, of course I wanted non-toxic fragrance, I found that the Environmental Working Group has a verified vendor. They have actually one, two, three, four, five different vendors that are at least that are EWG verified. Now they list by product. So I'm not saying that every product that the vendors have are all EWG verified, but this is a group, the Environmental Working Group, that I trust. And on the topic of the Environmental Working Group, I would highly suggest that you Google 10 Americans and Ken Cook. That should bring up a 20-minute video featuring Ken Cook from the Environmental Working Group in this video called 10 Americans. If that doesn't move you, if that doesn't make a difference for you, I won't believe it. I wouldn't believe that. You might be the kind of person that says so what, but I don't think so. So look at 10 Americans, Google 10 Americans plus Ken Cook. Ken Cook is one of the co-founders of the Environmental Working Group, and watch that video. Number six, my next recommendation is that you only use filtered water. If you want to use tap water, go right ahead. I'm not going to argue with you people. I am simply not going to argue with you. But my experience and research is that many of the bottled waters are no better than tap water. There's no bar that a bottled water company has to meet to sell bottled water. So not only is there no bar or guidelines or testing or any certification, you also have the issue that the plastics from the water bottle leach into the water. Yes, we know that. And on top of it, people, it's not sustainable. What are you doing going through 10 water bottles a week and then throwing them away? Come on, you're better than that. I want you to care about the environment, or at least your children or your grandchildren or somebody. Get a water filtration system and get a non-toxic, either glass. They have glass water bottles now that have like an outer coating so that they don't break, or a metal water bottle. Make sure it's a good one. Okay, make sure it's not going to have chemicals in it. And use that to refill it. It's not only cheaper, it's sustainable. You get into that, you'll think, why did I ever lug water bottles? Like, why did I ever do that? Number eight. Oh, and by the way, on filtered water, they also make shower heads that can be put on your shower to filter the water. We did that for years. They also have whole house filtration systems. You can get filtration systems that will fit under your sink and hold 3 or 5 gallons and go through a 4-cylinder or 5-cylinder process to clean out all toxins. So the filtration system will determine how much of the toxins are removed, all, some, or whatever level. So that's that. Number seven, embark on a detoxification program. Well, maybe you want to do that, maybe you don't. I know how, once I really got into the toxins and I was thinking, oh man, I'm sure I'm loaded with toxins. I did do a mini detoxification process for myself. I do recommend, that you use a physician, that you use books that are written by physicians. Use a book that's written by an MD that's known in that field if you're going to do that. Number eight, when you can, buy organic for certain produce items. Now, the Environmental Working Group used to have a list called the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15, and then it changed, and I can't keep up with the numbers. But the Environmental Working Group might be a good source for finding out what are the produce items that I should really only buy organic and stick to that? Because not all fruits and vegetables uptake pesticides the same way. Celery will take up pesticides like nobody's business. Soy will take up pesticides and other toxins from the soil very easily. They actually use soy as a cleaner. They call it the cleaner plant. So if they have a toxic field, they will plant soy and then, of course, sell it to you and I to eat. So buying organic or growing your own is a great, way to get away from toxins in your food, or at least make some better choices. Number nine, clean up your diet. Now I'm talking separate from produce and pesticides. If you're buying foods and you can't pronounce the food ingredient or you don't know what it is or what it's for, maybe you might want to rethink that. Like, is it good for you? Well, if you don't know what it's for, I don't know. I'm just suggesting you could make a huge difference in your health and the health of your children by sticking to whole foods and foods that are less processed or not processed. Number 10, recognize that you, I'm talking to you listening to this podcast, you hold the power and more power than you think for cleaner, safer, less toxic foods and personal care products. And the power you hold is by making the change to less toxic foods, produce, and personal care products, cleaning products, etc. This market, the less toxic personal care products, cleaning products, even in the food area, has changed a lot in 20 plus years. It has. It hasn't changed enough, and it's not like wild, but the food manufacturers and the manufacturers of personal care products, cleaning products, etc., consumer products, pay close attention. They spend a lot of money on marketing research. And then they take the money, the research results, and they make changes based on that. So when there's a shift with consumers buying a non-toxic laundry soap over a toxic laundry soap, or a consumer stops buying a air scented air thing, like every change you make has a corresponding dollar value that will show up in consumer research. And they will change. This will change things very quickly, if we get enough people to stop buying the toxic, products, things will change dramatically because those companies are looking for the cash cow. They're looking for who's buying what. And this is why we have seen the changes that we have seen, which are great changes, a lot of changes, but not nearly sufficient. Number 11. Use non-toxic cleaning supplies wherever possible. I do not support, by the way, this is a special direct comment. I do not support products that contain nanotechnology. That includes microfiber wipes or microfiber cloths that include nanoparticle technology, whether it's silver or mercury or whatever, because what we know from the research is the nanoparticle technology is not going to stay in that microfiber cloth or wipe. Some of it's going to end up in the air. Some of it's going to end up in the washer if it's a washable cloth. So no. I don't care if the company marketing is telling you this is safe, this is better for the environment. No, do not go for nanoparticle technology with your cleaning products, please. Or at least beware. You can do whatever you want. Number 12, open your windows for fresh air periodically. Now, I say that because when I had a particular house tested, so we had mold testing done, and then the guy who was there said, "Well, how about if I test your house for carbon dioxide?" I said, well, you're here. Why not? Like, I said, would the doctor want that? And he said, yes, she would. I said, okay. Interestingly enough, because we had, upgraded to new windows and done insulation, the house was pretty airtight, and the level of carbon dioxide, now I'm talking carbon dioxide, not carbon monoxide, but the level of carbon dioxide was too high. So we tested that, then we went outside, and the guy said, let me show you what the outside air has carbon dioxide wide. And so then you take these numbers to your doctor and discuss it. But I almost promise you that she is going to want you to open your windows every couple of days, to circulate the air and get the carbon dioxide out. Now, the carbon dioxide was coming from the kids and I, the appliances, like think carbon dioxide happens not just from people breathing, but also from some appliances and equipment. So it's not a bad idea to open your windows for fresh air periodically. I mean, I used to have notes around to remind myself because I would forget. And if you've ever done any painting, renovation, remediation, or you're living in new construction, or relatively new construction, for sure, I would open the windows every day for 10 minutes at least. I mean, this is not a bad thing. Number 13, this is very significant, which is to use an air purifier for your bedrooms and living room areas or major living areas of the house or wherever you're living. So that you'd be shocked. I mean, I have pictures when before I got a dog, how the air filters in 6 months would be disgusting, and we didn't have a pet, and then we didn't have carpeting. Like, it was like, where is this coming from? Well, like, you'd be surprised. Even in a brand new home, of course, the home I'm talking about was a not new construction, non-toxic, completely non-toxic, toxic, which I talk about in that podcast. Even in that home, no dog, and the air filters would still get, you really would be surprised at what's in your air. However, on this note, I do have to say, do not purchase, buy, use an air purifier that emits ozone. There used to be some manufacturers whose air purifiers emitted a very small amount of ozone, which they said was a good thing. Well, I talked to an internationally renowned specialist who said, no, there's no amount of ozone that is good for human health. And no. So I'm telling you, buyer beware. And if you've got one, I would get rid of it. There are plenty of decent companies that make air purifiers that do not emit ozone. Number 14. Oh, I hate to mention this. I do hate to mention this. I really do. But this is a podcast about environmental toxins and human health. Live Christmas trees or live greenery. I'm talking about freshly cut live Christmas trees. It could be potted, it doesn't have to be cut. It could be the kind you replant, or any type of live greenery will bring mold spores into your home or wherever you're living. I hate to break it to you. I was so disappointed when I learned that. I can still remember going, really? Really? Now, once you get mold spores in your home or wherever you live from the Christmas tree or the greenery or whatnot, then the mold spores get separated from the greenery and in your home. That's not good, people. You do not want things bringing mold in your house. I don't know any other way around that. I did end up getting a non-live artificial tree, which, they make them now at least that look like live trees. But I'm just letting you know that a live tree in any capacity or live greenery will bring mold spores into your home. Number 15, according to a 2010 landmark study on nutrition, listen to this, 98% of Americans do not get the proper nutrition from their diet. And even in the study, the registered dietitians found it nearly impossible to create a diet or a food plan that met the daily requirements for nutrition. I can tell you exactly who brought me that study and where I was when I got it. I was at a medical conference with my kids and someone came rushing in because they knew I would love it. And I did love it. And I still have it. So for that reason, 98% of Americans do not get the proper nutrition from their diet. I am a personal fan of supplements. I am not recommending supplements to you. And I am not saying you should not take supplements. I'm saying you should talk to a doctor. You should get your medical advice from a licensed medical care provider. And the only ones that I know of that really are hip on nutrition are integrative physicians, holistic, naturopathic, functional medicine physicians. That's who typically knows about nutrition. I personally, because of my decades of experience in nutrition, I was getting schooled in nutrition, like nutritional testing, nutritional supplements, how it works. I mean, I got I was in the school of hard knocks for nutrition. I do take supplements but I only take them a couple times a month. Now, I've started taking them more because of my car accident, which I wish I had thought about last year. I don't know why I didn't think about that. But typically, now this is pre-car accident, I spent about $120 for the entire year, $120 for the entire year for high quality supplements. I'm talking about the brands that these top integrative, natural, functional, holistic physicians would recommend. They would not typically recommend what's sold in your local grocery store or health food store or what have you. Mm-mm. And I've seen TV advertisements where they're saying, oh, it's $80 a month. And I think, oh my God, $80 a month? I'm only spending $120 a year. Of course, I was only taking them like 10 days a month prior to the accident. And I've only recently bumped that up. I'm spending, $120 for the whole year for the best quality, much higher quality than what they're advertising or selling. So if you're going to do it, you want to make sure you are not buying some low off the shelf stuff. It's just, no. I wish I could say more, but I don't give medical advice. So there you have it. So number 16, detoxify your mind from negative thinking, ruminating, brooding, overthinking, catastrophize, and the like. What we know from the research is that your thinking could be making you sick. I was thinking about doing a podcast on that, but I have not. But we do know from the research that the way that you think or how you think could be either making you sick or contributing to illness. The piece that would be helpful is to understand psychoneuroimmunology and the connection between your mind and your body. I could say a whole lot more about that, but you get the idea. 17, stop giving money to organizations who are looking for a cure for anything. I don't care what they're looking for a cure from, because guess what? Most illnesses, diseases are preventable. And now I've given you 3 medical textbooks about the reversibility of chronic or degenerative diseases. So don't support that. If you support that, if you're giving money for the race for the cure, or the race for this cure, or that cure, or this cure, or that, whatever, you are part of the problem. I'm just going to tell you right now, you are part of the problem. So stop it. I understand it's widely done. And I understand people feel pressured if they had breast cancer, or they lost a loved one to Alzheimer's, or this or that, that they want to participate in the race, or the walk, or the biking, or the whatever. I understand that. I am very well clued in. I'm just saying, the emperor has no clothes, and it's time. If you really care about cancer, dementia, Alzheimer's, any of it, then stop throwing your money away, because you are part of the problem. And I know I'm really angry about this because it's unnecessary. We have people who are dying and children unnecessarily. It's so tragic. And everyone's got their head in their sand. Stop it. All right, end of rant. But I'm so upset about it. Like, people dying upsets me. People dying unnecessarily because of toxins and BS really puts me over the edge, because it's not necessary. And there's so much suffering. There's so much suffering in this podcast topic that is not necessary whatsoever. But what are these organizations doing about getting this information into your hands and changing the products and changing the legislation and changing it so we are more like Canada and Europe, where we're like the no toxin zone? I don't know what they're doing with your money, but they have not used it widely, in my humble opinion. Number 18, be a champion for change by sharing this podcast. Help other people understand. You don't want people's kids to get sick and to die. You don't want people to get dementia that could be caused or Alzheimer's that could be caused by mold. You want people to be healthy, I hope. So share this podcast. Talk to people. Make your own changes. Number 19. Oh, I don't even want to say this either. I just don't want to say it, but there it is. Number 19. Check out the toxins in baby diapers and tampons and then see how you feel. Like, it's appalling. It's dioxin in baby diapers or tampons. Like, come on, people. And then you wonder why we have children this sick. Like, there should be no wondering about why pediatric cancer is increased over 75 or whatever the percentage is. Look at that 10 Americans video. Yep, baby diapers and tampons, people. Mm-hmm. 20. Get plenty of sleep and good quality sleep. So here's the thing I learned about sleep in this whole health odyssey journey. The only time your body can repair itself is at night when you're sleeping. Because when you're up and awake, your body has all this other stuff it has to do. So at night, when you're sleeping, is the chance that your body gets to go to work on repairs and detoxification. Good quality sleep, getting enough and good quality sleep is essential to human health. And this is a very good way to help you or your children or your family if you are concerned about environmental toxins. So there's 20 suggestions. And you can tell I'm so upset about, we have all these organizations raising millions and billions of dollars and doing what? What are they doing? They are not providing education to people and making legislative changes, which they could do. This would not be hard, people. This is not rocket scientistry. When we know that red food dye, like, oh, listen, we make food in America that if it was shipped to Canada, Canada would reject it. Europe would reject the food, some of the food formulations that we eat every day. In Europe and even tiny poor countries burn GMO crops if they find them. They burn them to the ground on the spot because they understand the negative health consequences of genetically modified food organisms. Like, they understand it. This is like poor countries have us beat. It's almost embarrassing. It really is very shameful the way America operates in this category, given how much money we raise for it. I'm really appalled. I'm very unhappy, and I'm requesting, if you care about your kids or your grandchildren or nieces or nephews or the students you teach or the kids you coach or anybody in the world, then get on board and make changes for yourself. And if you don't care about yourself, at least stop giving money to the people who are part of the problem. At least don't be part of that problem. Like, the more you address this for yourself, the healthier you will be. I mean, this to me, that we allow little babies and children. I mean, we have babies that are being born with cancer and leukemia, let alone the birth defects, in record numbers. Why? Go watch that 20-minute video, 10 Americans. We know why babies are being born with cancer and leukemia. And birth defects. It's not like we don't know. And what are we doing about it? We just going to raise money and throw more money at it? No, people, no. Do not let children die. Do not let children be born sick. Put an end to it. You change your patterns, and that will be huge. Share this podcast. Stop throwing money at the problem. I am a fan of fixing problems. And this problem, like, so Doris Rapp has been talking about this for, I don't know, 30, 40 years, like decades. This is, she's not the first, by the way. She is not the first. How many people have to die before we go, you know what? Dr. Rob is right. Or, you know, like, I don't know what it will take, but it's going to take something. If you change your purchases, like you start buying less toxic products, you start buying less toxic cosmetics, you start buying less toxic cleaning, you know, like, and you start buying foods that are less processed, more whole foods. Let me tell you, the manufacturers spend so much money on research, they will know. And they will start taking the crap out of their foods. They will. I promise you. That's how it works. That's what you could do. So I'm not even going to apologize for getting this upset. If you understood the level of unnecessary harm that is happening to people in the U.S. and in the world, you would go crazy. You would literally lose your mind. You would lose your mind. And some of you have had a loss like this because of this BS. I mean, that's not why my daughter passed away. My daughter who passed away in utero. That had nothing to do with it. Because her DNA and her chromosomes and her placenta were 100% normal. We have another hypothesis about why she died in utero. But I've had to learn all of this the hard way. And this should be common knowledge. This should be knowledge that every person in the world understands. If you care about people, this is where the rubber meets the road, right? You care about people, but you're going to contribute money to an organization that has not done diddly in 20 or 30 or 40 years. Because it wouldn't take 20 or 30 or 40 years to say, okay, we're going to pass this legislation, no more toxic chemicals in food or whatever. Like, it, come on. It's logic. It's common sense. So make some changes and live healthy, because you'll save a lot. If you're healthy, you save a lot of money. Because I've already told you, I don't spend a lot of money to be healthy, but I hope that's been helpful. I don't know where you are about how shocking this is or not shocking. I was talking to somebody this morning about this and they were just kind of looking at me like, no, they didn't know perfume could get into the fetus or cross into the womb or cross into the brain or you know, like everything I was talking about. They were like, no, this is a young person. Every young person should know this. They should have the right to make decisions that are good for them and their health, which they don't have if they don't know, which is part of the upset for me, is that, you know, I made these mistakes because I didn't know. Now, luckily, everything turned out all right for me, but that's not how it goes for a lot of people. So let me know how I can help you. Just start somewhere on this, make little changes. Bit by bit, you'll get there. I do love you. That's it for now. I'm Lisa Lundy saying thank you for listening to my Love Life podcast, episode number 225, Environmental Toxins and Your Health. I most certainly request that you share this podcast with the people you care about and on social media. Stop giving your money to any organization unless you know they're really dyed-in-the-wool advocating, like the Environmental Working Group or some of the other groups. And start making your life healthier with better choices. I do love you. That's it for now.